the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In our Bible study this past week, one of our participants made the following comment about Romans chapter 8. This is the epistle lesson appointed for today, and in it we hear these words, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. For I am certain that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Upon studying those words, he made this comment. If I had only one chapter of the Bible to read, it would be Romans chapter 8. Well, how do you think a pastor responds to that? I said, well, thankfully, God hasn't limited us to that chapter. But I agree, this chapter is marvelous. But consider what went before it in the book of Romans that make it so comforting and so faith-strengthening. In the beginning of the book of Romans, St. Paul describes the sinful condition that all humanity finds itself in and describes the wickedness of the world, coming to this conclusion in Romans chapter 3. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. None is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks after God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But St. Paul wasn't done there. In chapters 4 and 5, he then tells those who hear these words, but that's not the end of the story, that God in Christ has come forth to bear the sins of all mankind, that in the death of Jesus, he has undone the death that Adam brought upon all humanity. And so he proclaims the wondrous good news that tells us this in Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, helpless, really, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, and let me remind you, that means while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. When Paul has finished telling this part of the story, Paul then begins chapter 6 with this question. What shall we say to all this? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. These parts of the book of Romans need to be heard so that the context of St. Paul's words that are so comforting in Romans chapter 8 can truly be understood and appreciated. God here reminds you that in all things he works for the good of those who love him. At the same time, Paul once again reminds you of how it is that you can hear these words and know and believe, one, that they are true, and two, that you can find comfort in them. Paul reminds you that before the foundations of the earth, before God created the heavens and the earth, before God said, "Let there be light," before he created Adam and Eve and all of the living beings of this earth, God in eternity had predestined each of you to be who you are and what you are, heirs of eternal life. But then in time, God called you to be his own. Those whom he called, he justified. That is, makes righteous in the blood of Christ. And then Paul adds, speaking of each of you baptized into Christ, he glorified. And as you hear those words of St. Paul, you must ask yourself, what on earth is he talking about? This is the same chapter in which he reminds those Christians who were predestined, called, justified, and of which he says now also glorified, that they are the ones who are facing tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and even the sword, which means physical death. How can St. Paul describe Christians as already being glorified, yet while having to live in the consequences of the fall and the sin in which the church still lives? Well, the answer is really quite simple. You have been glorified because God has bestowed upon you a great blessing. Today in the gospel reading, there were two short parables. The first parable is the parable about a man who finds a treasure in a field. He covers it up in the field and then goes and sells everything that he has to buy that field. Likewise, a second parable, exactly like it, a man was searching for pearls. He finds a pearl of the greatest value, and he goes and sells everything that he has so that he may take possession of that pearl. Children of God, you are that treasure. You are that pearl. God has laid aside everything of his that you might be his own. You are glorified because of what God has done for you, and that is this. In the waters of holy baptism, he has put his name on you, marked you as a child of God, and told you, you belong to him. And he is the one who paid that price that you might be his. Once again, this is how St. Paul describes it in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. You are glorified by God, by his redeeming work. And yet now he says to each of you some of the most difficult words in all of Scripture to hear. Yes, in the same chapter of the book of Romans. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And when you live in the face of the things that these Christians lived in Rome, and yes, you face them too. You too daily face all of the assaults of sin, death, the devil, and this world that can be thrown at you. You daily suffer under the consequences of the fall. You face sickness and death. You too stand in the face of opposition and the assaults of the devil. And yet the Word of God declares, God uses all of these, yes, even the evil things of this world, for your good. How can this be? And once again, the answer is very simple. It is this, that God uses even the evil things that He allows you to pass through to bring you to repentance, to humble you, to show you how much you truly depend on Him every single day, every single moment, for every single breath, for the very life you live and for the life that will be yours for eternity. But God doesn't just use those things to work repentance, because repentance is not an end in itself. The end of repentance in a God-pleasing way is for you to flee to Christ. And that's why all things in life God uses for the good of those who love Him, because He loved them. Because ultimately, God can and does and promises to use even the bad to lead you to Christ, to your redemption, to your forgiveness, to your hope of salvation. And so these words from St. Paul in Romans chapter 8 should in fact give you great comfort, because God promises not only will He use the evil things in this life for your good, but He also promises that none of those things, listen again to the list, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, and at the conclusion, I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, dear children of God, if God so uses even that which is evil in this world for your good, imagine how He uses the good things. And you're surrounded by them. God uses the good of your fellow believers to strengthen you and support you in times of trouble and distress. You are not alone. God has surrounded you with fellow believers and the communion of saints to remind you again and again and again. Not only do you pass through these difficult things with Christ, but with your fellow believers. God uses the good that is present here in His church, in the hearing of His word, to strengthen you and to sustain you in the faith. God provides for you daily bread. And out of this daily bread, God uses this great blessing that you thank Him for daily, and you rejoice in as He sustains your physical life, that God now uses elements of your daily bread, ordinary wine, to bestow upon you this great blessing today. For with the bread that you eat and the wine which you drink, God bestows this great good and blessing upon you, the very body and blood of Christ Himself, who died for you and was raised on the third, victorious for you and for your salvation. And with this great blessing, God bestows upon you the forgiveness of your sins and does that which is truly good for you, strengthens your faith, so that you might pass through this time of life in all circumstances, whether good or bad, whether evil or gracious, Christ is with you. He is there to sustain you and to strengthen you. And to you who have been baptized into Christ, who have been glorified to be called children of God and to bear the holy name of Christ, to you who have heard his word, rejoiced in that word, and lived according to that word, to those who today feed upon Christ, his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, you truly find comfort in this great promise. I am certain that nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.